Every day, it seems like another device is getting smarter. From smart watches to Wi-Fi enabled LED bulbs, everything around us is becoming more connected and efficient. And just like our world is getting smarter, your e-commerce business should be too. If you're looking for incredible efficiency, or if your business has outgrown its old shipping solutions, ShipStation is the tool that can help you take that next step. ShipStation offers exceptional shipping efficiency with a powerful all-in-one order fulfillment system. It integrates with over 180 of the most popular e-commerce platforms, marketplaces, and carriers, making it easier than ever to manage your shipping tasks. I personally use ShipStation, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. The ability to automate shipping tasks and manage orders from one simple dashboard has saved me countless hours. I love that I can print shipping labels with just one click and take advantage of industry-leading discounts. Up to 89% off with carriers like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's made scaling my business faster and more efficient than I ever thought possible. Plus, saving thousands on shipping costs is just the icing on the cake. If you want to lead your business into the future with technology designed to save you money and headaches, ShipStation is the way to go. It seamlessly integrates with the services and selling channels you already use, and it's the fastest, most affordable way to ship products to your customers. Over 130,000 companies have already grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. And 98% of those that use it for a year become customers for life. So switch to ShipStation today and lead your e-commerce business into a smarter future. Go to ShipStation.com and use code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code BOOK. Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm super excited to be here in Boston at Sonesta International Hotels, and I have their Chief Marketing and Performance Officer, Chris Trick.
That's it, Trick.
Chris Trick. And of course, Elizabeth Harlow. She's the Chief Brand Officer here at the Sonesta International Hotels. You would not be believe internationally the amazing hotels that they have suited for everyone. But before I get into that, I landed here in Boston. And I just have to admit, it pissed me off because I landed here. And once again, there's a billboard that said something like, it's been 36 days since our last championship. It's been a lot. I'm 56 years old. That's my last championship, never in San Diego. But maybe someday we'll have the sports city that they have here. But sports is actually really important in the hotel industry. And there's a variety of reasons why, not just because people come to every city to see sporting events, but I think they don't realize how much business is done by people who participate in a multi-trillion dollar industry of sports, especially now that it's a content. How do you guys decide on who and what vertical you're catering to in branding and marketing that we decide, oh, you know what, maybe we'll go after these sports entities, brands, organizations, tournaments, you know, is there a pickleball plan because it's the fastest growing sport? How do you make those decisions on what community of people are best aligned with the different properties that you have?
That's a great question. I think many of those segments are driven from a B2B standpoint through our global sales organization. As an example, we have a dedicated sports team vertical that reaches out both to the professional teams and amateur athletics across the country. So we develop relationships kind of on the one-to-one, team-to-team basis. And to your point, you know, it is huge for our industry, not only the traveling teams, both professional and amateur teams, but also the fans and families and people that travel with those teams. At the brand level, we take a broader approach, although it is somewhat segmented. We're not as refined as when we go in a B2B standpoint.
Yeah, one of our biggest sports partnership is with an up-and-coming league called SailGP, yep. Which is one of the fastest-growing sports in the United States and the world, and we've just come off season four with them, and we recognize that they share a lot of the same attributes that we have. They're up-and-coming, they're growing, and they're on the move. So I think we've got our sports kind of verticals covered from a lot of different angles.
Yep.
And as you both know, I ran one of the most notable sports agencies in the world, and I came up in the marketing side of things calling a bug light approach. If I brought Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Warren Moon, someone, it was a bug light. But that bug light's changed because of social media. And now a bug light's not just someone that will track people to an event at a hotel, but them posting inadvertently even while they're visiting your hotel, in the room, in the lobby, eating food. Sometimes you get more of an audience than a standard commercial actually can today. How have you dealt with, since you both are seasoned vets, in this transition of amplification by social media?
Well, I think I'll start, Chris, and turn it over to you. But if we go back to SailGP as an example, any kind of partnership that we craft has to include a social media element to it. And not only have we found that that's absolutely critical in table stakes, but that content performs better than a lot of our paid, highly produced content. So it's a critical piece of our marketing toolbox and something that we wouldn't even think about not negotiating as we work through these kind of larger, broad-scale partnerships.
Absolutely right. It is a huge part of our media mix. And for us, it's about, you know, building community, driving engagement, celebrating experiences at our hotels and associated affiliated with our hotels. So it's critically important to us.
And you mentioned the word experiences, and obviously a lot of people discount or don't pay attention to how important that component is. When I look at your brand, I think of experience, business development, and then also post-production content and utilization, very strategic, intentional about what you're doing. But I think a lot of brands don't look at the experience side, and they're just strictly posting and promoting post-production content with this idea of business development or business in mind. How important still is the emotional attachment that people have to your brand?
Well, I think building brands, it's absolutely critical. How do we differentiate our brands? How do we provide those different touch points that other brands within the marketplace can't offer? And going back to experiences, we've just come off another partnership with Rolling Stone magazine, as an example, and creating experiences that money can't buy. Literally, money can't buy. These are invitation-only events that only our top Sonesta Travel Pass members can be a part of, or our like beloved clients and development team as well, giving them these once-in-a-lifetime experiences, which, yes, that has post-production value, certainly, but in the moment is really special and unique.
And any approach that you've had in certain types of experience, I know Rolling Stones is one of those brands that has a wide range or a wide community. Are there other things in the experience of staying at a Sonesta International Hotel that you look for? Because you're on the performance side of, hey, this is the type of experience that I want to convey with our brand.
Yeah, you know, Elizabeth said it well. It's both what we do on property and the experience we deliver on property through service and some of the amenities and the attributes that we bring to bear. But it's also how we connect with our communities off property. You know, our industry is largely a commoditized industry. If you think of the mid-scale segment, you know, as an example, there are probably 200 different brands in the mid-scale segment. So how do we differentiate ourselves? It's through these unique experiences that we can deliver on property, that we can engage with our audience with, and deliver that similar experience through partnerships off property.
And the travel pass you mentioned, which is something that I utilize. And I think it's really important, not just for people who travel 200 days a year. Obviously, we're experts in utilizing programs like that in order to get the most value out of what we do. But it also stimulates interest in people that don't know all the different sub-brands, all the different properties, where they're located. It allows you to own the customer and provide information and awareness. How important is the travel pass component of what you do?
Oh, well, it's what we kind of wrap all of our brands together with. It's the red string that unites us in one powerful platform, for lack of a better term. And that's how we go to market, because it is tough to communicate effectively. We've got 13 different brands across this many different countries and this many different cities with this many different rooms. We've got to have a singular, easy to kind of digest message. And that's what Sonesta Travel Pass provides for us. along with all the benefits that go with it. But it does become our 14th brand in many ways as that 14th consumer-facing brand. So it's what we lean into in all of our marketing materials, all of our marketing efforts, I should say. It's really what we lead with to communicate all the benefits that the program has.
And it builds a community. And we've been around a little bit longer than probably Elizabeth, looking at us at least. And community, to me, is so much more closely tied to brand. When we talk about branding things, all I think about, not that I even ever thought that I would have my own brand, which somehow remarkably happened, but it's all about community. And I have a great feeling with your brand. You have this feeling of people who want to help each other and know people that can help each other. It seems like a neighborhood that you've created. And my philosophy has always been, if you can create that neighborhood, Chris, then you have a bunch of people that will buy from you and sell for you for life. And that's when successful brands like Sonest are created, but also are sustained and grow. To that measure, how important is understanding the frequency, I will say, of your community in order to grow into this competitive field, a very loud, noisy, competitive field when it comes to hotel brands?
Well, it's very important for us. You know, guest engagement driven through Travel Pass is one of the key metrics we look at. And, you know, when you think of our family of brands, we have 13 brands, roughly 1,100 hotels that span from economy hotels all the way to upper upscale hotels. So to Elizabeth's point, it's really about how do we connect, you know, that audience, which is typically based on occasion and location, and we connect them. So whether or not they're traveling for business or leisure and they're looking for a one-night stay, where they may earn those points, they may burn them at one of our more upscale locations and resorts. So it's really a community within our family of brands.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's certain components you talked about, the string that attaches through Travel Pass. One of the things that I recognize and love about your hotels, and I use the full range. When I'm by myself, I have to tell you, I'm on the lower side of things. I'm looking to save money. I'm looking for a TV. And that's me. But my wife will not stay in the same hotels that I stay. But one of the common threads of why we stay at Sonesta International Hotels, no matter what level, from the highest ones, which my wife stays at, to the airport ones that I do, is that you allow pets.
Yes.
And there's these subtle differences that we don't have to worry if it's a Sonesta hotel calling in to see, oh, can we bring Coco, which is a deciding factor of why we stay with you. How important is it to understand the community to know that these common threads could make the difference in a very competitive, loud market?
Well, Elizabeth says it best. We love pets. Pets are family for us, and we have a program designed just for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Pets Are Welcome at Sonesta, and the acronym is PAWS, easy to remember.
Yeah.
And we want to be known not as just allowing for pets, but truly welcoming pets. And we want to be the most pet-welcoming hotel company in the country, if not the world. And so all pets are welcome, no matter size or breed, as long as they're well-behaved, we like to say. And we offer special amenities for the pets, and we're looking, I'm a pretty diehard dog mom, so I'm particularly passionate about this program.
I feel you.
And I travel with her all the time, and it's a non-starter if a hotel doesn't have a pet program or allow for pets. So, and I think it's become especially more important. We saw that coming out of the pandemic, there were so many pets adopted, and pets became even more important in people's lives than they were maybe prior. Even though I'm a pre-pandemic pet mom, but I don't know how you can change that.
Right.
So anyway, it was just a very important part of our DNA. But more importantly, it's what the consumer was telling us that they wanted from us. So that's really why we developed
it. And comparatively, pets seem to be a big issue in our family, in our community, in our business, but also fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't always the case as a business travel. Yep. I mean, the only years I didn't travel 200 days and since I graduated law school was during COVID, and it seemed very awkward to me. But fitness is a really big one as well. And so when you grasp that, okay, this is a priority, pets, fitness, how do you then be able to communicate that across so many brands and so many hotels that it can get lost in the communication that, hey, we provide these amenities, whether it's a breakfast or fitness or the feature of pets? My biggest fear is I don't know what they have, and I'm impatient. Even at my age, I can't imagine the younger travelers how you're communicating the great value that you provide at Sonesta.
Well, around fitness, it's a basic standard that we offer at all of our hotels. All of our hotels, just in order to be flagged as a Sonesta, must have a fitness program. But we also know that people want to work out differently based on what their use case is. I like to joke with Chris, you know, a lot of us are on the road a lot. With no offense to Chris, I don't necessarily want to see my coworkers at the gym in the morning.
No offense taken.
So I like to work out in my room. So how do we enable guests to work out in their room through different amenities, like simple things, providing mats or bands or things of that nature, which just allow people to work out on their terms, especially all of us who travel so much. Like you can't give up that kind of critical piece of your routine, because once you give up your routine, it's really hard to get back into it. So.
And growth is a big part of what's going on, and it's complicated in an international setting in order to facilitate what brand do we need to grow with and where. And I assume those decisions include data and your advice, especially in the performance side. What are some of the growth opportunities that you see within Sonesta internationally today?
Well, you know, I'll say that when you look at our company, we're one of the fastest growing companies in the industry since the pandemic, since 2000, in large measure based on the acquisition of the Red Lion Hotel Company back in 21.
How many hotels was that?
At the time, it was 950 hotels.
Wow.
With the Red Lion Hotel Company. Today, we're just about 1,100 hotels, but we truly began franchising Sonesta-branded hotels late in 2021. And we opened our first Sonesta-branded franchise in December of 21. And next month, we're poised to open our 100th Sonesta-branded franchise in just 2.5 short years. So the pipeline for Sonesta-branded properties is robust. In fact, this year, across all of our brands, we'll open about 66 new hotels, organic hotels, into the Sonesta family. And the pipeline going into next year is really strong. So, you know, the momentum continues for Sonesta, but it's across all chain scales, from our economy brands, America's Best Value Inn, all the way up to our Royal Sonesta and the James Hotel.
Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time. Imagine starting a small business. Your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast.
Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit into technology. A lot of people don't know that when you have such a massive inventory, that data and technology play a critical role in marketing, branding, and performance. And I haven't done my homework on the AI side of synthesizing that data. So I would be curious to understand how AI has impacted one of the most critical values of managing and operating and providing value, which is that community of data. And how are you guys using today AI in either marketing or synthesizing the data to figure out how and who and where to market?
Well, Takiba, you make a good point. It's a key part of our media modeling and media targeting. We use AI through our media planning agency. It's also really important in our revenue management and our revenue management tools that allow us to price and position our hotels with inventory and rates when somebody is buying. And so that happens in real time based on demand forecast and through an automated interface. So we use it in a number of different ways.
Makes sense.
I think there's also, while we're not there yet, but AI will certainly become a huge part of our guest experience. You know, how do you regulate temperatures in a room before the guest even arrives based on what their preference is? How do you execute preventative maintenance based on AI and when different assets are ready to be serviced and so on and so forth? So I think we're at the ground level, I think, as an industry. And Chris, tell me if you feel differently, but as an industry, we're generally not early adopters, the hospitality industry. We like to see where the world is going, and then we get in.
You should try lawyers if you think hotels are slow.
So we've got.
I think they're still using dot matrix printers. I'm not sure. Those lawyers. It is so important. Now, you mentioned another thing, price. I'm friends with Jeff Hoffman, one of the founders of Priceline, and obviously price was the cornerstone of mm-hmm. what some of these aggregators do. And so we have to be price conscious. Obviously, you're using AI to figure out yep. the market, but I'm still a firm believer that perceived value is indicated by how well the brand articulates that value. And if you can articulate a value via branding and marketing higher than what you're asking for, price actually becomes less important. Some people will strictly get a hotel room on price, mm-hmm. and we know those people. But to make a difference in a crowded space, I believe it's those that can articulate with their brand the value greater than they're asking for, a perceived value. And from doing my research in this side of it, it seems like you do a really great job of identifying perceived value more than just commoditizing a room. What are some of the branding mechanisms or focuses in providing that perceived value to exceed far more than you're asking for?
That's a great question. You know, I think that before we get into value, we need to do the basics right. So in a lot of the focus groups that we were conducting, as we set about kind of really detailing and positioning all of our brands, we heard from the consumer, you can do as much as you want. You can put as many bells and whistles that you want on a guest stay, but if you can't deliver a clean room and a safe experience, then forget about it, right? You can't even, without those basic table stakes, then nothing else matters. So then we took what we were hearing from our customers and really tried to craft the experiences around what they were hearing, what we were hearing from them in terms of what they wanted from a guest stay, which then answers the value question. It, again, that safety, security, cleanliness for table stakes. What I thought was fascinating when we were doing the brand positioning research was that everybody just wanted a drink. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, well, that's the info that I want, right? Like what really matters.
Give me a bar or access to alcohol, which I thought was fascinating to hear.
Not surprising, but fascinating.
But we're coming out of the pandemic too. And I think there was this kind of sense of like, I need to be with other people. I need to raise a glass with other people. I need that sense of community and belonging. So anyway, I got off topic a little bit, but
no, that's on topic for me. So
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So again, and then creating value through special touch points, which don't have to be high cost, but are highly memorable. And really what we want and what we want to deliver, Chris can get everybody into the doors as he possibly can. But once they get to the hotel, if we can't execute, then
we have to deliver.
Yeah,
we have to operationalize it. You know, one thing I would say too, and I agree 100% with Elizabeth, you know, today loyalty matters more than ever. And people want to be rewarded and recognized as part of that service and that guest experience. And so that's also a key part of the value equation for us.
And it also is applicable to the amplification of social media, because it's not just people buying from you when they're loyal, it's selling for you.
Absolutely.
And they're selling for you without even knowing it, because they're like, best day ever, yeah. Best night's sleep ever, best gym ever, or best bar ever, whatever it is. One of the personal questions I have, because I do travel so much, is there seemed to be a shift in COVID as well of our expectation of once we're in the room and it's clean and all the values there and the services and amenities, but it didn't seem like we really needed our rooms cleaned, or it's offered, but we don't need it. And it seemed to me, knowing the business side of it, that it was a huge margin that was lost over all the previous years. And then it didn't seem that customers really needed the rooms cleaned every single day. And I was just curious, because you obviously know the data, you know the amount. Is it a trend that is just personal to me, that it was more of a bother for people? If I wanted a towel, I'd go ask for a towel. If I needed it cleaned again, and I'd rather save us both the time and money.
Yeah.
And I know it's a great expense to clean rooms every day. Is that true?
It's interesting that you mentioned that. I think it's a personal preference is what we found. Is some people were saying, you know what, I've become conditioned to rooms not being cleaned every day. I prefer people not entering my room. That's one set of cohorts. The other one is like, no, I want that daily housekeeping back, and we'll do that. And absolutely. And we've reinstated daily housekeeping at our Royal Sonesta hotels, for example. Then it's on request in some of the other brands, but really it's a personal preference. So some people like you, David, are like, I'm fine with it. Other people are like, no, I actually want it back. And maybe that's part of staying in a hotel, right? That's a luxury that you don't get at home. So
personally, I love it.
You do.
You know,
yeah.
I love daily housekeeping.
My wife too, obviously.
If I don't get it, I make my own bed.
Yeah. I
Oh, I could get into travel tips all day long.
Like, yeah.
I'm a guy that believes you use your bed as a desk. So you need to make it immediately when you wake up. And I use it to lay things out. I never leave things. I have all types of travel tips. Speaking of which, educating the customer in providing value with travel suggestions, tips, not just at the hotel, but in the area. How important is that information? Because it seems there's so many places we can go for those. But are there certain travel tips, being the experts in travel, that you provide? You have a newsletter. Is there a component of what you do to educate the market on a way to experience traveling, specifically with Sonesta as well? Is that part of the marketing plan?
Mm-hmm. After you.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, based on the destination will kind of inform what the guest wants to do in that local destination. Some of our hotels are not located in primary markets, right? So there's not a huge, I would say,
tourist
business. Attraction. Yeah. However, in our Royals,
but what about the tips too, just being at a hotel?
Oh yeah, we certainly our concierges are well informed of whatever the location is, and then through social too, we focus a lot on the destinations in which our hotels are in, and we want to again make sure that our guests feel that they're part of the community that we're in too.
A lot of that destination content is delivered through our website as well. We've got many, many hundreds of citywide and destination pages with robust content that as people are in their planning phases and exploring areas, we provide that content on the front end of the journey.
Tell me about the Whisper campaign, because it's almost counterintuitive when you think about what we're doing today with so much noise and how loud all these brands are. I found it really interesting that you guys actually have this type of Whisper campaign that attracts more attention to your brand.
Well, it was actually the second phase of our campaign. When we first launched the brand, we launched it with a campaign called Famous Yet Nameless. Whisper, we brought in influencers, and it was this concept of, you know, we're the best kept secret. And so people were telling the secret about Sonesta.
Right.
Kind of as the insider.
So like E.F. Hutton, everybody's listening,
like,
right?
Like E.F. Hutton. And it was a wonderful campaign. We brought in social media influencers, and they're telling the story through their lens of staying with Sonesta.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of the best kept secret when it comes to sports, so I totally get you. So Chris, I have four kids, big family, and we travel, like I said, every different type of hotel I'm looking for. My wife obviously is looking for a little different hotel than I am. If I met you at the airport and told you who I was and what I love, why should I choose Sonesta?
That's a great question. You know, across our family of brands, Sonesta really delivers a destination for every journey.
And why is that, Elizabeth?
Well, I'd say it's because of three key pillars. We're inspired by our people, we're built for change, and we are driven to succeed.
I can't think of three better ingredients from someone who travels literally almost every day, and I still stay married with four kids. So it is possible when you have a nice place to stay according to your personalized needs and the different trips that you're taking. That's why I love Sonesta International Hotels, and I really appreciate your leadership and the lessons you've given me in branding and marketing. Chris Trick, Elizabeth Harlow, thank you so much for joining me. This is David Meltzer at Sonesta International Hotels with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.